Y'all sounded beautiful this morning singing. Praises to God. Y'all look good this morning. Hey, glad you're here. Praise God for what He has done for us and what He's going to do for us. And I look forward to the day that we can look Him face to face and say, I thank You so much, Lord, for saving my soul. Praise His name. I don't know if any of you have ever had this opportunity, but somebody asked you, said, how are you doing? And you say, well, I don't know yet. Nobody's told me. Anybody ever been there? The old saying, no news is good news. So if they ain't told you, I guess you're doing okay. So this morning, if you would, turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 36 through 40. But the message is entitled, like we said earlier, how you doing? And a lot of times when you ask people that, it's like a ping pong match. You ever notice that? How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Fine. You doing fine? Yeah, fine. Why are you in the merch room? I don't know. I'm fine. You go in the doctor's office. Everybody's in there. And they go, how you doing? What? And then you have those people that you ask, how you doing? 45 minutes later, you're going, I won't ask that question again. It's a notorious question that we ask. But as we look at this, in verse 36, and it says, and someday after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in the city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they doing. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, and Paul thought not good to take him with him, but who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto God, the grace of God. Father, may You take this very time to pierce our hearts, knowing where we are right now, Lord. I pray that You would take us and draw us closer to You. And for those, Lord, that does not know You this morning as personal Savior, that this would be a time that Your Holy Spirit draws them to salvation. Some, Lord, need to be confirmed this morning and reminded of their salvation. Some need this morning, God, to repent and return and rededicate their lives to You. Lord, as we share Your word this morning, we realize and understand that Your Spirit is at work in this place, and we thank You for what You're doing and what You're going to do. May God, You richly bless this very time, because God, we are so grieved. Much of what's happening in our nation and in our world, in our county, please draw us closer to You and help us to turn to You for our salvation, our peace, and our unity, because only You can do that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sometimes in life, as we're on mission, there's a mission drift. And we drift away from our purpose and lose perspective of where God is placing us and what He's called us to do. And sometimes that drift takes us further than where we want to be or even thought we could be. For instance, train companies years and years ago, they suffered because of a mission drift, because they lost focus. They were in the focus, and their main mission was to transfer people and transfer stuff. And somewhere along the road, they lost focus, and they began to focus on railways, that we needed to build more railways, and they kept focusing on that and forgot that their mission was people and their mission was transporting and you see what took place. Eastman Kodak, their mission, their focus was cameras. How many of y'all remember Eastman Kodak cameras? They lost focus, their mission drift, and they suffer because of that. God has called us to reach people and teach people. Amen? God's called us to reach people and teach people. Let us not lose focus of that what God has called us to, and may God not let us mission drift away from that. That we continue to love people regardless of where they come from, regardless of what they look like, act like, smell like, talk like. Let us love people and share Jesus with them. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Hello? Paul and Barnabas, they're going on their second journey here. You see in Acts chapter 15, verse 36, you see that the journey, they wanted to visit and see how their converts were doing, those followers of Christ that accepted Christ and how they're doing. If you back up in chapter 15, you can see some of the distractions that they had to get them off their mission drift and get them looking at something that's not their perspective. In verse 1, "And a certain man which came down from Judea taught them, brethren, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." So they began to put thoughts in their minds that you had to do all these Jewish things. They had to add stuff to what you had to do to be saved. And so there was this mission drift. These people were coming in and getting their minds confused. And so that's why they wanted to go back and see how they were doing. They lost focus. And they needed somebody to bring them in because they had been listening to false doctrine. Look at verse 9. "And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt you, God, to put a yoke, put false doctrine upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be," what? "Saved. Even as they," all people, all nations, all generations, "saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. By His grace we're saved." In verse 37, Paul and Barnabas, they had a disagreement. Barnabas determined to take them, John, surnamed Mark. There was a disagreement about these two. Believers can disagree, amen? Y'all ever seen that? How many of y'all just lied to me? Oh. With time. And I would like to believe that these men, before they departed ways with different people, that they had a prayer meeting. I would like to think that these men, even though they were in disagreement of who to take, that they agreed that wherever they go, they were to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, and they were to pray for one another and encourage one another and edify one another and continue to do the evangelism that God called them to do. That they could kneel and pray together, join arms together and say, "Let's do the work of God that has called us to proclaim His name. And may we disagree, but we're still going to proclaim and focus upon Him who called us and keep focused on the journey." I would want to think that they kneeled and prayed together. And they said, "Man, I'll be praying for you." And Paul probably said, "I'll really be praying for you because you're taking John Mark." You know what he did to us last time? I don't know. Speculation. But I believe because of the Scriptures later on, when Paul, I believe that there was a restoration, that there was not a separation, but there was a restoration between these relationships, because later on, Paul said, "Go get John Mark because he's useful." So I believe there was an agreeing. We need to stay focused and pursue God and pursue unity in God's church. We do need to be good stewards. I believe we do. We need to give our tithe. We need the methods and all the stuff to focus upon the most important thing, and that's to reach people and teach people. I know that we're looking at some monies to put into our church to build steps that is safe for us to come into on each end of the buildings. I know that we're looking at ways of proving the security in our church. I know that there's things that we need to do. But let us not lose focus on why we assemble together and send each other out. And that's to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, that is the most important thing. We could disagree. I love you, church. But we could disagree on white hymn books. We could disagree on blue hymn books. No hymn books. We could disagree on gospel songs or new songs. Whether we have a choir, whether we have a praise scene. Whether we wear long hair or we have no hair. Amen? We could disagree on blue jeans or dress pants. We could disagree on whether the pastor wears a tie or wears a golf shirt. Amen? Huh? Okay. We could disagree that I have a hard copy of the Bible or I'm on an iPad. But God's Word's going to prevail. God's Word will not return void. Amen? And God's people assemble together to encourage one another, to edify each other, and to evangelize the gospel of Jesus Christ. What color the hymn book is, whether we use a hymn book, is not the main thing. Hello? Amen? All right, we're going to vote. No, we're going to vote. We can fight, we can manipulate, we can undermine the movement of God and who gets control. But I'm going to tell you, God is in control. This is God's church. This isn't David's church. It's not your church. This is God's church. And God will be in charge of His church. You see, I see Paul here looking at John Mark. And I believe this might even take place in churches today. That Paul looked at Mark and he says, "Hey, we don't need your help." I pray that we don't hear that at our church. We don't need your help. Hear me, church. Paul was saying this. Paul's human flesh, like we are, makes mistakes. "You're fine to come to church, John Mark, but don't you step on my territory. It's my territory. I'm in charge of this mission. And this is the way that we do things." You see what's going on? God should be the one that's in charge. I think Barnabas, he's an encourager anyway. I think he said, "Okay, Paul, I'll go this way with Mark, and you go that way with Silas, and we'll continue to pray for each other." And I believe that God will still use us, you know. I believe that we're still on mission, and we want to encourage and edify. And each one of these men, Paul and Barnabas both saw something in them. And he saw the potential. And I want you to know that God sees you this morning. He sees you as you are. But God also sees you of the potential you have in Him. God sees the potential in your life if you'll trust Him and obey Him and let go and let Him take over your life. Both these guys, I believe, shook it off, prayed for each other, blessed each other, and stayed focused on impacting the kingdom of God to share the gospel and to continue to train other men and women. Their mission was to reach people and teach people. This was to reach people the name of Jesus Christ and teach them the Word of God and to teach them how to obey God and how to obey His plans for each one of their lives. I believe this is what God intended for them to do, and I believe they carried it out sufficiently. There's three things that stand out about this Scripture in both 14, 15, and 16 chapters. Three things that stand out about the growth of these men and the impact of their process. And the first thing I noticed was the edification. Edifying. How are you doing in this journey? And the reason they asked that was to build one another up as they come alongside each other, to help each other, to encourage each other. The Bible says the church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. And it became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. That's Acts chapter 9, verse 31. They grew in numbers. They became stronger because of the edification, because of the things that they did for one another. They built each other up. They loved one another. And they came alongside one another. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much as the more, as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. Church, it's time that we get on board with God's call on our life and get the perspective that it's not long. I see the time coming. We need to build one another up. We need hand people, not feet people. And let me explain. Feet people. Somebody makes a mistake or gets down. Somebody puts a foot on them and says, yeah, I thought they would. I didn't think they'd make it. See where I'm going? We need hand people. You know, God still loves you. And I believe that God still has a plan for you. Yeah, you messed up. But I believe that God will forgive you if you'll just confess it and ask Him. And let's get back on track. Now that He's forgave you, let's press on. Come on, man. I'll help you along the way. You see what I'm saying? I believe that's edifying. The second thing that I see is encouraging the followers of Christ. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith. Continue encouraging. In chapter 15, verse 31, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. My friend, when you don't have somebody there to encourage you, grab your Bible. Grab your Bible. Begin to read and let the Word of God begin to encourage you and lift your spirit up. God's Word will do that. Encourage one another. Study it. Understand the doctrines of it. But don't add more stuff to it. Take God's Word. The third thing that I think that we can learn from this in the growth and in the process of evangelism. That's our mission. That's our call. I would like for us to take as a church body the month of October and just call it Outreach October. Could you ask 5 people this next week to come to church, come to Bible study with you? Are you going to be able to see 5 people that you could invite to come to Sunday school or come to church with you next week? You got 6 days. Ask 5 people and see what happens. I don't know. I'm not going to set any goals. I'm going to pray for you because I'm going to go ask 5 people as well and to see what God can do with our efforts of going and outreaching and asking people. Ask people to come to church with you and just see what God can do. Tonight we're going to do an introduction to the book of Revelation. I'm going to share with you what my vision is for cross training. Brother Uriah will start the 3 circles process in 2 more weeks on Sunday night. And you'll have the choice to remain in Revelation or go join. Both are excellent, excellent, and I recommend both studies. I want to explain that and give you the vision for that. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Have you ever been in a crowd such as maybe what we have right now, and there's one door, just one door to go through? And let's just say it's a 3-foot door. And I move all this stuff, and I say, you got 5 seconds to get through that door. Are all of you going to make it? Nope. I got an advantage on you, though. I'm closer. Narrow gives me an indication that there's going to be few. I must seek it. You must seek it. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that find it. Not everybody's going to heaven. But every one of you here this morning have the opportunity to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going through that door, going to heaven. You have that opportunity. You can accept it or reject it. But God's going to give you that opportunity to know that you know you're going to heaven. All of us are sinners. We're not entitled to enter God's kingdom, into His presence. You can't enter heaven because we have sinned. Revelation 21:27 says, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Many are deceived because they said a prayer and they went on living their life just the same as they did before. It's not a magic prayer that you get a card. It's a lifestyle change. Because when you accept the blood of Christ, you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins, you believed in what He's done upon the cross, and you ask Him to be Lord, controller of your life. You confess Him. You confess Him before others. Then, as an obedient act of an inward change, you follow through baptismal waters. Let the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Is your name in the Book of Life? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you living the life like you're going to heaven? Or are you living life like all your treasures and belongings is on earth? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Why don't you go ahead and stand? Everybody, if you would, go ahead and stand. While your head's bowed and eyes are closed, this morning, it's a personal thing that I believe God's drawing you this morning to personal salvation, to confess Him this morning as Savior and Lord. The Spirit of God's been speaking to you. Some of you here this morning may not know that you know. You're having doubts about your salvation, whether you'd go to heaven or not. You can confirm that this morning. And for those who are Christians, maybe this morning is a time that you need to rededicate your life and get things into perspective, because you've been on a mission drift and you've not been doing so well. This morning, whatever God's called you to do, as Diane sings this song, as He is drawing you, don't let Him pass you by. Do what He's called you to do this morning. Be obedient to the Spirit of God. That person lets you out, step around them. Come to the altar, pray. Make that decision that God's placed on your heart this morning. As she sings, listen and obey the Spirit of God. Altar is open for you. Brother Uriah, if you would dismiss us in prayer, please.